Father, we just thank you. First of all, Holy Spirit, I invite you into this service again and again and again. And Holy Spirit, you know exactly what God wants to say and how he wants to say it. And so I give you full, total, complete rule and reign to do so. And angelic host, you're here, and I want you to clean the atmosphere. Every spirit of hell that came in here thinking they were going to cause disruption is already defeated by the blood of Jesus. You weren't invited, and so just leave in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I just thank you that you love this little church. I thank you, Father God, that you've been keeping us all the years that we've been here. And I thank you, Father God, you're here today, and that you're going to bless your children and not curse them. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You all know Elevation Worship, right? You all know Steve, what's his name? Futrick? What is it? Well, whatever, that's what it is. I was reading yesterday where they said he's going to replace Kenneth Copeland. He's going to be up with his sneakers on, you know, giving God the glory. And I believe that, you know, I really do believe that. And I think that's wonderful. Now, you guys in this church, you need to get your sneakers on and start praising the Lord. Because, you know, if you don't, God's going to bring in the world and it's going to take your place. We've been sitting here long enough, spinning our wheels, doing nothing. And God said it's time that we get our act together and start doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And that's worshiping in unity, one mind and one accord. Get our lives together and just quit the dumb stuff. Don't you hate dumb stuff? I was sharing with somebody right before we started it. Hi, Andrea. I see you back there. I was in somebody's house over in Virginia ministering, and the lady that invited me, they were all, you know, they were all officers of the Air Force, and she invited me over to preach in her house one day, and she had a whole lot of people there, and I was standing up there, you know, my heel broke off my shoe, the buttons fell off my dress. I forget, four things happened. I can't remember, that's been so long ago. I'm sitting there trying to hold my dress together, you know, I'm trying not to fall off because my shoe's off, trying to do this, that, and the other. And come to, and the lady in that invited me and her friend were praying as hard as they could pray, sitting right there in the front row. And then whenever I got through giving the message and God started ministering to the people, I found out there was a witch in the midst. And when God spoke to her, that witch got set free. But see, those people had prayed and fasted and, you know, for that day for me to be there. But that witch came in there and put all that junk on me while I was trying to preach the word. And I didn't stop. I just kept going. Just kept holding everything together. And then, see, she got set free. This is what you have to do. I don't care what demonic force of hell attacks you. You have to keep on going. You cannot stop. I was embarrassed. My dress was falling off of me. But I wasn't going to stop. I knew something was amiss. And do you know a lot of people that night God set free? A lot of people, you know, gave their heart to God totally and completely. And it's all because I didn't give in to the wiles of the evil one. I didn't say, well, we just got to stop this and just leave. I stayed the course. Too many of you sitting here this morning, you don't stay the course. Let one little thing go wrong and you go wrong with it. You don't make the enemy leave. You just let him stay there and you entertain him and let him take you down whatever rabbit hole he's trying to take you down. And you can't do that no more. You honestly cannot do that anymore. You guys are sabotaging your own self. You're allowing the enemy to use your temple to do his dirty work. And it's up to you, though, really. I can't force you to believe that. I can't force you to set yourself free. It's a battle. We're at war. If you read anything, everybody's saying we're at war. We've known we've at war, but we are at war. And they're saying the church has got to stand up and fight. You're not fighting. All right, let's just say you have a habit and you haven't had that habit for 6, 7 months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, and all of a sudden, boom, you fall off the wagon, and there it goes. And everybody around you all of a sudden wants to crucify you, you know, because you didn't hold it together. Well, where were they? Why weren't they holding you up? You know, and whenever you do fall apart, why aren't they holding your arms up? You're like Moses' people did. We're too quick to point a finger. I knew they couldn't make it. You know, and that's not God. That is not God. So I don't want you guys doing it no more. I want you to stop. I want you to take your brother's or sister's hand, and I want you to hold on. And it might not be in a natural, but you can sure do it in the spiritual. And you can see these people be set free. Amen. This morning, I'm going to give you a vision that God gave another young man. His last name is Kumuyi, so you know he's from overseas. And he says, are we up there? He says, sex, 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 sex. Yes, sex, you heard me very well. Don't just play holiness and complain. He said, read this message to the very end. When I first started church, God said, there is no love anymore. It's all lust. He said, the people are like animals. There's no feeling, no emotion. They just do. And that was in the early 80s. And it's gotten worse. It has not gotten better. A lot of you men, and even a lot of you women, you wouldn't make good husbands or good wives because you wouldn't know how to treat a human being because you've been too busy entertaining the devil. Think about that, and that is the truth. You've been into your perversion, and you would not know how to treat a human being. I know that for a fact. All right, here's what he said. I slept around 10:20 p.m., not quite long after lying on the bed. I heard God calling me audibly, so I woke up. When I checked my time, it was 11:30 p.m. Suddenly, I felt the urge to pray, so I left the bedroom to the sitting room and started praying. All of a sudden, my eyes opened, and I was in another realm. I saw an array of ladies, both young and old, very beautiful, coming from the seaside. And I asked God, who are these? And he said, these are marine spirits that have been commissioned by the devil to drag many to the kingdom of darkness. So they were ladies and they were marine spirits. His time is almost up, and he has vowed to cause many to fall, you know, the devil's time. I asked, why women? And he responded, they are not really women, but are evil spirits that have taken a feminine form. All right. So I asked, what is their mission? And he said, see. All of a sudden, I saw people having sex. What amazed me was that some were having sex by the wayside, some in bushes, some on beaches, some in offices, and in open places. So I asked why, and he said, these are sent to spread lust and cause many to fall into the sin of fornication. He said, very soon fornication will be legalized. Well, I looked it up, and all these different states that you see up there have legalized fornication already. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, so run away from sexual sin. It involves the body in a way that no other sin does. So if you commit sexual sin, you are sinning against your own body. You should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit that you receive from God, and that lives in you. You don't own yourselves. Everybody thinks they own themselves, and you don't. God paid a very high price to make you his, so honor God with your body. The spirits are meant to befriend many young ladies, show them care, and eventually initiate them to be used by the enemy. I saw young ladies, unsuspecting ladies, being initiated, and as soon as they were initiated, they had an insatiable desire for sex. Also, I also saw sugar mummies luring young men with money and cars right after sleeping with them. They are gone. You see that? They are gone. I saw new dresses being introduced, dresses that expose all parts of the body. In fact, I saw very fair a very fair lady that was almost naked. About three-quarters of her breast was exposed, and the dress she wore was very transparent, that one could virtually see her nakedness. Then I saw many people buying these dresses, skimpy short skirts and transparent leggings and blouses that exposed a cleavage. Bleaching of the skin was on the rise. I saw them pouring potions on the eye to lure men with their eyes. "Tell the church to watch," he said. "They will try to enter the church, target pastors and members, especially from choirs." I saw members of the church being possessed and sleeping with each other. Amazingly, I saw two ladies in a particular choir that were lesbians. Then I saw men of God sleeping with members. Some slept with members before they mounted the pulpits. I saw that pastors are battling within because there is not just a crack but an opening on the wall. Satan has entered their lives. Some were caught in the web of pornography and masturbation. In fact, I saw a particular pastor watching pornography and masturbating in his room. To him, the room was locked, and he thought no one was seeing him. But I saw that the wall to his room facing the public was broken, and people were watching him without his knowledge. And God said to me, "Whatever is being done in secret is already open." You know, it's just not only women that these spirits are in. These spirits are also in men. And the men are sent into churches to entice the pastors or the women in the church to destroy them. And you foolish women who think because a man looks at you, lusts after you, that you're special. You are not special. That is a demon looking at you and lusting after you, trying to pull you into their filthy slime bed that they're lying in. So it's just not women. It's men also. I witnessed that right here in this very church. It's been awful. And God has been addressing this thing. So if you ladies think that you're all that and then some because some man in here looks at you, you're not. You're just a target for the devil to destroy. Same way with men. If you think because some woman's lusting after you that you're special, you're not. They lust after you, they'll lust after anybody. And they're just trying to lure you into that trap, too. I really don't like that. That really just grates me to the core, watching lust go on in a church. You sit in the house of God, and you know, and you lust after, and your lust is everywhere. It's prevalent. You know, I can't believe you even do that. I'd be scared to death. God would strike me dead. I really would. All right, let's talk about the clothing. Why do Christian women wear these tight pants that look like you have just not even any clothes on at all, go out into public, and then you wear clothes that show your breast, you know, and it's ridiculous. Why do you do that and call yourself a child of God? We're supposed to be peculiar. We're supposed to be different than the world. But I don't see that in the house of God. I'm hearing God say you don't see purity in the house of God the way you ought. In fact, my grandson was in New York on Thursday, and he came home and he said, "Mom," he said, "in New York, the mothers dress their kids in real skimpy clothes, real tight clothes, hardly any clothes. The women weren't wearing hardly anything." He said, "It embarrassed me to walk down the streets." I mean, if it, you know, a 16-year-old can see that, why can't you 30-year-olds see that? You're listening here. I mean, the God's going somewhere with this. If you want to see the glory, you're going to have to hear the truth, and you're going to have to set yourself free with the truth. All right, where am I at? And God said to me, I don't know where that's at. All right, I said, whatever is being done in the secret is already open. This is what God said. I also saw women becoming unsubmissive and disrespectful to their husbands, and this act frustrated husbands to fall prey to these spirits when they left home. You wanted to do that anyhow. Come on, get out of here. Quit blaming on the woman. I do know women do that, but come on, let's be honest. I saw many being manipulated through food and clothes. and I saw many chains as well. And he said to me, these are chains of addiction that has kept many people in sexual bondage. Some women were showering enchanted gifts to pastors and were gradually changing their status. In other words, pulling the pastor down. Tell my people to stay within the boundaries of my word. Let them not depart from them. Tell them to watch and pray. Let them be focused on me, and this will help them avoid every distraction of the enemy. Let them be focused on me, and this will help them to avoid every distraction of the enemy. And he said, bitter truth, believe it or not, accept it or not. You can be in deeper life. Now, this is different things he said you could be into. You can be in deeper life Bible church, and your life can still be shallow and deep in sin. You can attend the redeemed Christian church of God, and yet your life remains unredeemed. You can be a member of Winter's Chapel and still be a slave of sin, fulfilling all its lusts till you die. You can be in Mountain of Fire Ministries, and your life is still in the valley of lukewarmness and spiritual coldness. You can be among the Salvation Army and still suffer defeat, not knowing what it means to be saved from sin. You could be in Christ's embassy and still be working directly as Satan's immoral ambassador in his evil embassy. Are you understanding what he's saying here? You can be in dunamis and yet you remain powerless, spiritually lacking basic grace. You can attend the Lord's chosen church and yet be among the rejected many. You can speak in tongues and miss heaven. You can win souls and miss heaven. You can see vision and miss heaven. You can cast out devil and miss heaven. You can perform miracles and still miss heaven. You can read the whole Bible and miss heaven. You can attend all fellowship activities, camp meetings, and miss heaven. You can have an anointing and miss heaven. You know, just because we're anointed does not mean we're going to heaven. You can have all spiritual gifts and miss heaven. You can wield power and unction and still miss heaven. But you cannot live a holy life and miss heaven. In other words, if you live a holy life, you will go to heaven. Holiness is a real deal. Now, you know, when people get saved, I don't know what that means. I know what born again means, but I don't really know what saved means, because just because you come up here and say, you know, repeat after me thing, that doesn't make you saved. If you're really truly saved, your old lifestyle will go away and all things will become new. Brother Allen, how many years did it take you going through deliverance? But while you were going through deliverance, was you still working to live a holy life? Yes, he was. That's why I asked him, because the man fought to get set free. And he was continually in here getting deliverances. And he had a pile of demons in there, right? But he finally got set free. It took him 10 years. Some of you have been sitting in here 10 years and you're still bound. It's because you really don't want to be set free. You say with your lips, but your heart doesn't mean that. See, Alan said it with his lips, but it came from his heart. He truly did not want to stay in the bondage that he was in. And how many of you sitting in here tonight, no, this is morning, how many of you sitting here this morning are still bound, even though you've, see, this is what upsets me. You not only were delivered, you were on the deliverance team, and you're still bound. So I think if you're still bound, you shouldn't be on the deliverance team. In fact, if you're here, they're no longer going to be on the deliverance team if they're still bound. Because you have demons, and you're not going to get somebody else set free. They'll poke up those little tiny demons, but the big ones are going to stay right in there. They're not. The big ones aren't going anywhere. They don't have to. They don't have to. Because you don't have any power or authority to set them free. Now, you need to quit kidding yourself about that, too. Everybody's saying, and I'm talking about pastors and prophets, that we need to be deliverance ministers, and we do. And we should be teaching deliverance in the church, and we do. But I know some of you, you're so, you can just woo somebody right off the face of the earth with your charisma, but you're still bound. Where are these words coming from that you're getting? This knowledge that you're putting in books, where's it coming from? You're still so bound. I can tell you where it's come from. It's come from the dark side. The enemy will give you any kind of stuff and still keep you bound. Your book might set somebody else free, but it's not setting you free. The proof is in the pudding. Everybody's kidding herself. They're thinking they're all right, and they're not. They're really not. And those who are all right, those who are really walking with God, you should be staying in the holiness of God, and you should be praying and for these people who are still bound, because they're getting ready to be another Samson. God's getting ready to pull the plug, and you won't be no more. So if you know somebody's bound, keep praying until God tells you to quit. Are you listening here? Come on. And you can't, you know, if you're saved, you're not going to sleep around either. You know, you people are living together and you're saved and you're sleeping together. That's fornication. And the Bible I just read where you are not to do that. So what are you really? Are you saved? Half saved? There's no such thing as half saved. I want you all to think about this morning, because a lot of you are doing things that are going to take you straight to hell. And you know, God sending people to us to help, but if you're bound, you're not going to help them, because eventually what your sin is going to be shown to those people. And then what's going to happen? They're going to get discouraged and leave the church. And then whenever you stand before God, their blood is on your hands. Are you listening here? All right, so let's talk about holiness. He said holiness is a real deal. 1 Peter 1:15, be holy in everything you do, just as God is holy. He is the one who chose you. In the scriptures, God says, be holy because I am holy. This sign we have on this door has been here since we started church in the beginning of the 80s. People don't even pay attention to that. God said they don't even pay attention to that sign anymore. It's just something on a wall. They don't even read it. Are you listening? See, that's how dark you are. That's how cold you are. You read what God's word says and it doesn't faze you whatsoever. And then, be ye holy, for I am holy, is what God says. These words occur 5 times in the book of Leviticus. God had called the Israelites to be his peculiar people, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. Now, we are the remnant church. We are called to be peculiar people. We're not supposed to be like the other churches, you know, the ones that aren't walking religion and not in the spirit. You men are supposed to be priests in your households, and we're supposed to be a holy people. Exodus 19:5-6. So now I tell you to obey my commands and keep my agreement. So if you do this, you will be my own special people. The whole world belongs to me, but I am choosing you to be my own special people. You will be a special nation, a kingdom of priests. Moses, you must tell the Israelites what I have said. So what are you guys supposed to be? God's own special people. You will be a special nation, a kingdom of priests. I'm hearing God say, you will rule and reign in your household as a priest if you walk in holiness. Leviticus 11:43. Don't let them make you filthy. You must not become unclean, because I am the Lord your God. I am holy, so you should keep yourselves holy. Don't make yourselves unclean with these crawling things. It's really talking about food that you eat, all right? I, the Lord, brought you out of Egypt so that you could be my special people and I could be your God. I am holy, so you must be holy too. You know, God brought you out of your sin nature so you'd be a special type of people, that you wouldn't do the thing that the rest of the world are doing. Don't you ever just stop and cry, and because of what you see in the house of God and how people, you know, disrespect God and just come in the house of God, you know, just any old way, and they don't really care. They really don't care. be holy as I am holy, pursuing God with all your heart. Now, I don't know why the 2023 guides here. In 1 Peter 1:16, it says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This command from God to be holy as I am holy is no small thing. What does be holy as I am holy mean? It means we are called to be like God himself, to pursue holiness with all our hearts, to run hard after God, to put to death the deeds of the flesh and put on righteousness. If you're like me, you may find this command a bit intimidating. God is infinitely holy and righteous. He burns bright with purity. God spoke about purity when we first started. There is none like him. No one is holy as him. None is glorious. He hates sin and loves righteousness. How many of you really and truly have ever, somebody's come up to you and started talking to you and you instantly got angry? What you are holy, and what makes you angry is a sin in this other person. It just does something to you. It makes you get really angry. But you know what? I see a whole lot of Christians, so-called Christians, that nothing makes them angry. You know, why? Because they themselves are not walking in the holiness that God has called them to walk in. And they don't care if somebody else is doing it, because after all, they're doing it too. Why is sin not preached about in the pulpits? Because the pastors are into it. One thing I don't teach too much on is about receiving the Holy Spirit. I do teach about receiving the Holy Spirit, but I don't say, come get lined up here now and we'll receive the Holy Spirit. Because does something to me, because John the Baptist said when that Jesus would come and he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and so that, all right, you can line up and not just say, okay, that the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you, that's fine, but I'm not going to come by you and say bab bab boo boo and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to say if I lay hands on you you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as I'm not the one to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And so I just don't really do that. Sort of, kind of, only when God makes me do it. Because I want everything to be God-orientated. You know, nothing that I am initiating, but just God. All right. As it says in Psalm 1:5 regarding the wicked, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. When God gets to judging you guys, it's going to be bad. In other words, when the Lord comes to judge the earth, the wicked will not stand, period. They will be cast out, period, because they are not holy. See that? They will not be able to stand before the Lord. This raises a critical question. How do we be holy as God is holy? I want to pursue holiness. I want to be holy and righteous. I want to obey the command to be holy as I am holy. I know you do. So how do we be holy like the Lord? Here are four critical ways how to be holy as God is holy. Number one, be holy as I am holy by trusting in Jesus alone. It's absolutely critical that we get started on the right foot when it comes to obeying the command to be holy as I am holy. If we get this first part wrong, we'll get everything else wrong as well. See that? The first step in being holy as the Lord is holy is to set our hope on Jesus Christ alone and the righteousness he provides for us. In 1 Peter 1:13, Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Before Peter commands us to be holy, he reminds us to set our hope fully on Jesus Christ and the grace that will be brought to us when Christ returns. In other words, when it comes to being holy, the first and most important step is to trust in the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ by faith. In Christ, we are already holy. Let's stop there, because God keeps dealing with me about something. People living together and have sex, okay? Not married. I've always taught repentance. That's just what God has me do, and I always taught holiness. And there was a young couple, and they were living together, and they came to church and got saved that day. Well, I got the teaching about righteousness and holiness, and they came to me and they said, we're living together, we were sleeping together, but can we still live in the same house and not sleep together, because now we're going to get married. Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with that. They went to separate bedrooms. They didn't have sex together anymore. And we married them, and they moved away from here, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he heard that he was supposed to walk in holiness and righteousness, and he really got convicted of that, and they sat down and talked, said, we can't do this if we're really going to be following God. I wish more people would do that today. But that's not the way it is. All right, I was talking to a pastor one time, and they happened to take me into their bedroom. It was a female. And, I said, you're a pastor and you have this? God doesn't care what goes on in my bedroom. And God said, yes, I do. You can't bring the world into your bedroom. I don't care who you are. Your bedroom should be holy. Are you listening? And you can say that you can do that, and that's none of my business, because that was their business, not mine. But I never did feel like that was right, and God told me it wasn't right. So I'm sorry, I'm hearing God say your bedroom's not a playground. All right, in Christ we are already holy. We are so closely united to Jesus that God sees us as clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Here's a profound truth that we need to remember. We can never truly be holy or righteous apart from Christ. You have to be totally, completely embedded in Christ for this to happen. All right? It is only by his righteousness that we can approach the throne of grace. It is only because Christ lived a sinless life in our place and died the death that we deserved that we can have fellowship with God. It works like this. We are already objectively righteous in Jesus Christ. Nothing can change that. You see that? However, we're called to work out what God has already worked in us. You're not supposed to stay in sin. You're supposed to be working your way out of sin. In other words, God has already made us holy in Christ, and we're called to live out that holiness. You know, when I first got saved, not born again, that's not true. When I first moved to Delaware, I've always been saved. I was invited to a church, and when I went to the church, they called me into their office and told me I couldn't wear a tight sweater to church anymore, because I said, what's wrong with my sweater? You're enticing the men and making the women upset. So I quit wearing tight sweaters. I didn't want to entice no man, and I didn't want to make the women upset, and I wasn't trying to entice the pastor. Remember the story I told? I was in Penny's, and I was looking for a dress, and there was two young girls in there. One young girl came out with the enticing dress on, and she said, do you think this will get the pastor's attention? She was dressing to entice the pastor. A lot of men and women dress to entice the men or women in the house of God. That's when they get dressed in the morning to come to church, they're dressing for somebody in the church instead of God. All right, if you're not confident that you are righteous in Christ, you'll never be able to effectively pursue holiness. Read that again. If you are not confident that you're righteous in Christ, you'll never be able to effectively pursue holiness. Well, I'm just going to say this, and I can't deal with men that have their pants down below their hiney, and I look at your cracks all the time. Put a belt on when you're in church. You bend over and you see everything, and that bothers me. I don't like to see nakedness in my house, let alone in church, when you bend over. So I'm just saying that's where I'm at, so that's how I think about that. All right, Jerry Bridges puts it like this. We obey God's law not to be loved, but because we are loved in Christ. How many other women don't like to see men's hineys either? They see men, every woman here, so they don't want to see that. So wear your belt. All right, Jerry Bridges puts it like this. We obey God's law not to be loved, but because we are loved in Christ. Our obedience to God, our holiness, flows out of the fact that we're already holy in Christ. We pursue subjective holiness, knowing that in Jesus we're already objectively holy. Are you listening to this? So how do we obey the command, be holy as I am holy? By trusting in Jesus alone for our righteousness. You can't make yourself righteous. Only God can. How many of you really pray, God, don't let me do anything today that's going to shame you? Please, God, keep me holy. I pray that every day. Keep me holy today, Father. Because if without him, I can't do this on my own. All right? If we want to be holy, we must regularly consider and contemplate the holiness of God. We must remember that God hates sin and loves righteousness. We must meditate upon the beautiful sinlessness of God. Did you ever think about Jesus? You know, the women were always at his feet, you know, washing his feet and doting all over him and doing all kinds of things to him. But he didn't take them to bed, you know. He didn't move in with them. Because he stayed holy, because he is holy. You need to start and stop thinking. God said to read what Jesus did. If you read what Jesus did, then you won't do half the stuff you did if you're professing to be a child of God. Do y'all wish you stayed home today? You know. All right, point number two, contemplate the holiness of God. The next step toward being holy as God is holy is to contemplate, consider, and meditate upon the glorious holiness of God. Contemplate, consider, and meditate upon the glorious holiness of God. Notice that the command says, be holy as I am holy. Other translations use the word for instead of am. They render this verse, be holy for I am holy. However it's translated, the meaning is the same. We are to be holy because God himself is holy. You know, if you go out there and tell, you need to come to the Lighthouse Church and you're doing something stupid, don't tell them where you go to church. Tell them you go down to the one on the corner. Because I don't want people to believe that's what we stand for is worldliness. Because we don't. We stand for holiness. That's what I stand for, so I can't speak for the other staff, but that's what I stand for. That, and God called me, whenever he called me into ministry, because he said, I want you to teach holiness, righteousness, and repentance. And that's what we've been doing. I don't see very many people accepting that, though. They don't like those things. And they leave the church because I just can't live the way you're saying I should be living. That's good. You're honest with yourself. You're honest with God, so... But you've been taught the right way and you know the wrong way, and it's up to you to choose what you're going to do. In other words, the burning bright holiness of God should compel us to pursue holiness with all our hearts. The more we think upon the holiness of God and all his many glories, the more beautiful it will appear to us and the more holy we'll want to be. Ladies, you don't have to bow to your husband's perversion. And men, you don't have to bow to your wife's perversion, because wives are perverted too. You're going to stand before God yourself, and he's going to ask you why you didn't walk in holiness and righteousness. You can't say, well, my husband, no, that's not going to work. You don't have to do what your spouse does. You need to just stay your course. If they want to leave you, that's up to them. But you're working your way to heaven. And you know what they do is up to them. And if they don't want to straighten out and be holy, then you're better off without them. You really are. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think about them. I mean, how much you might love them. Are they worth going to hell for? I don't think so. I had a husband who was very perverted. He wasn't going to do nothing to me. He wasn't going to defile my temple. That's just the way it was. And God told me in the beginning, he said, don't let him drag you to his level. You bring him up to yours. I brought him up to my level. I wasn't going to do the things that he was doing, which weren't very nice. All right. Doesn't it tell you somewhere, you know, all this masturbation going on? Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, do not cast your seed upon the ground? It's a sin to cast your seed upon the ground. You people think you have to masturbate all the time. So what do you think God thinks about that? How many of those seeds could have been a child that God wanted born? And you had to play with yourself. You know, I'm serious. I'm serious as a heartbeat. Ask God about it. Why do you think he was so upset about the abortion clinics? You girls are old enough to hear this, right? Philippians 4:8 puts it this way. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Throw away all your perversions, all your little toys, and think about the things of God. There is nothing more honorable, just pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, or worthy of praise than the holiness of God. And the more we think about these things, the more we will savor the holiness of God, the more we'll desire to be holy. How do we be holy as I am holy? By regularly meditating on, delighting in, and thinking deeply about the glorious holiness of God. When you're getting ready to do something stupid, just say, would Jesus do this? And your answer would be, no, he would not. No, he would not. Remember that our third point, remember that we are children of God. In 1 Peter 1:14, Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. See, none of you are ignorant as you leave here this day. None of you are. Notice that he calls us to obey as obedient children. In other words, our obedience is to flow out of the fact that in Christ we have a new identity. We are no longer enemies of God. Rather, we are beloved children of our Heavenly Father. Our new identity should shape our pursuit of holiness. We obey not to earn God's favor, but because we are his children. We love our Father, and because we love him, we want to obey him. And see, this is a problem. A lot of people don't know how to obey their parents, so they definitely aren't going to obey God, their Father. In John 14:15, Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We love God and obey his commandments because we have been adopted as children of God. God is our Abba Father, and he delights in our obedience. Put simply, we love God and he loves us, and we obey God and our obedience delights him. So how do we obey the command to be holy as I am holy? By regularly remembering that we are adopted, beloved children of God. Point 4, be holy as I am holy, by putting sin to death. There comes a point in our pursuit of holiness when we simply must put our sin to death. Yes, we must embrace the righteousness of Christ, meditate upon the holiness of God, and remember that we are children of God. Those are the first steps. But in addition to all these things, we must actively seek to kill sin. Peter puts it bluntly when he says, you also be holy in all your conduct. There's no beating around the bush on that one. We are to be holy in all of our conduct, to put off the desires of the flesh and walk by the Spirit, to flee from anger and impatience and lust and greed and all the other sins of the flesh, to run after righteousness. Guys, you're going to have to just drop this junk if you're going to go on with God. You're just going to have to. You know, Kat Kerr said she saw cows driving tractors. I don't believe that, no more than I have two heads. And they're saying Kat Kerr is a false prophet, and I won't go into that. But if somebody tells you you can get out there and sin and do, I did have a pastor tell me you can do whatever you want to do and still go to heaven. That is not true. That is not true. You're going to have to put away the sinful nature if you're going to go on and be with God and go to heaven. Colossians 3:5, so put everything evil out of your life. Sexual sin, doing anything immoral, letting sinful thoughts control you and wanting things that are wrong. And don't keep wanting more and more for yourself, which is the same as worshiping a false god. In Colossians 3:5, in the NIV it says, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. It says right there, if you don't put these things away, the wrath of God is going to come upon you. If you want to obey the command to be holy as I am holy, then we must put to death the things that are earthly in us and must live as citizens of heaven. You know, God says come up to the third heaven. You know, that doesn't mean bring your junk with you, because the third heaven is clean and, you know, it's holy there. We are all called to walk by the Spirit, and as we walk by the Spirit, we will put off sinful desires and deeds. This, you tell me, I walk in the Spirit, I watch your actions. No, you don't. No, you don't, and you're only fooling yourself. If you walk in the Spirit, then you'll do the things of the Spirit, not the things of the world. Because I said to God, what is wrong with this church? He said, they're not really walking in the Spirit, they just think they are. Because they still have their sinful nature attached to them. They won't let go of it. So how do we obey the exhortation to be holy as I am holy? By putting to death the deeds of the flesh. And then he said, run hard after God. Holiness is a beautiful thing. God is the most glorious, beautiful being in the universe, and he is infinitely holy. When we pursue holiness, we become more beautiful in God's eyes. So run hard after God, pursue him with all your heart, pursue the beauty of holiness. And then Colossians 3:5-14, we're going to read that as we close. Look at what you're reading and put it in your spirit. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's Colossians 3:5-14. If you're going to go on and be with the Father and you want him to use you, then you're going to have to follow Colossians 3:5-14. And I have come to the point, and this is the honest truth, that if you've been in this church more than a year and you're still doing your mess, I really don't want to be around you, because I feel that filthiness coming out of you that you just won't let go of. You've been through deliverances, you know, and everything else, and you still keep dwelling, you know, in that little cesspool that you have. When are you ever going to let it go? When are you ever going to let it go? How are you going to be a true witness to anybody else if you yourself will not let go of the junk that you've been living in all your life? It's not easy. You think my road is easy? My road is not easy. Every day I have to fight the devil. I have to make him let me go. I live with nothing but sin around me. That's all that's around about me. And now I'm trying to protect two little boys that's around all that sin. And I can, you know, the devil's trying to take them. But I'm fighting for them with everything I have. But it's going to be their will, what they want to do. But I'm not giving up. I get awake at night and I pray for them. Tell the devil, you're not having my boys. So So what are you doing with your own life? Are you telling the devil, you're not having me no longer? I'm not going to play with you any longer. I'm giving my heart to God 100%, and I'm done with you. You're just going to have to say that to him and then walk it out. God, come on, if you think that the only way you can serve God is by having everybody around you holy, then you're already lost. I haven't had anybody around me holy since I've become born again. Not even when I was just saved, but then becoming born again takes you in a deeper level. And I've had to fight through the darkness of other people around me. But I do that, and I stand, and I keep standing, and I keep standing. You know, I wouldn't be up here if I didn't have a true testimony. So do you have a true testimony to your friends that you're going to talk to? Can you tell them, I've gone through this, and I've gone through this, and I've gone through this, but God has kept me because I kept fighting the enemy, kept pushing and kept pushing until he left me alone. You're going to have to get to that place. There's a church somewhere out in the West Coast, been having true revival for 3 years. They're traveling from all over the states to go to it. They're coming from overseas to go through it. And I got upset when I read that yesterday. What's wrong with the Lighthouse Church? We have a deliverance minister, but even the deliverance ministers aren't even free. Now, how do you account for that? Are you understanding what I'm saying here? Oh, come on in, we have a deliverance ministry. We'll set you free, and you're bound up yourself. You can't do that. You have to get set free and stay set free. Is it going to be easy? No. By George, no, it is not. You're going to get fought harder than you ever get fought in your life. When you really and truly determine you're going to follow God, the devil's going to know that. Right now, he knows your plan. But he's gonna know that you mean business, and he'll push on you. But you know he will leave you. He really will leave you. I forgot what I was even going through the other day, and I stood up and yelled, "You're finished. Don't come back again." I was talking to the devil. I haven't seen him since. He knew that I had finally had enough of him, and that he wasn't going to come back. Well, I don't even know what it was, but he wasn't going to do it no more. The devil knows whether or not you mean it. And he knows when you just want to play around and pretend. So you heard it. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? The devil's going to fight you. You know that this applies to women and men. You're both, either one sex will think, oh, I'm just all that and then some. No, you're not. The enemy has you by your tail, and he's just pushing you every which way. You're a true woman or man of God when I see you really free from the devil, fighting and winning the battles. But otherwise, you're just his little puppet that he's doing whatever he wants to with it. Now, what are you? Are you a puppet? Or are you a warrior that's being fought? Only you know that answer to that. I'm just hearing God say right now, you can open up the altar for all those who really and truly want to be set free from this makeshift life that they're living, and they want the true life, the holy life, the sinless life. And he said, it has to start somewhere. Why not with you? So the altar's open if you really, truly want to be free from the sins that you have in your life, and you want to be a vessel of honor that God can work through.